one of the mistakes I've made in previous agencies is just not talking to the client for weeks on end, or not physically seeing them. Out of sight, out of mind. Over time, you become that distant person.
Welcome to Happy Porch Radio, the show for agency owners and web professionals who want to grow bigger, better, and more rewarding businesses. Join Barry O'Kane, your host, as he talks to leading experts and top agency owners about the challenges and opportunities that we all face, and hear them share the amazingly valuable lessons they've learned along the way. This is Happy Porch Radio.
Hi, and welcome to episode 9 of season 1. Guess what season 1 is all about? Yes, that's right, it's all about the long haul. We dig deep into long-term client relationships, recurring revenue, repeat business, referrals, and more. Everything that's vital to building an agency that not only survives, but grows. A few months back, I was honored to be featured on the Lee Jackson Dev podcast, talking about creating retainers for your agency. And today, I'm even more honored to have Lee join us here on the show. Lee shares all about his agency and how he builds long-term client relationships, and indeed a community beyond his clients that provides real value to everyone involved. Plus, it's always a lot of fun having a conversation with Lee. So please welcome Lee Jackson to the show. Hello, Lee, and welcome to Happy Porch Radio.
Hello.
Thanks for coming and joining us here. So to start us off, Lee, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your company?
All right. Well, again, thanks for having me. It's really exciting to be here. My name's Lee, Lee of the Jackson, and I'm no relation to Michael Jackson, I'm afraid. It would be nice, but no. And I run a WordPress agency here in England. That's the United Kingdom, where we have a queen. And we specialize in building WordPress themes from design agencies' designs. So that's pretty much the bread and butter of our business and what we do.
As you know, and listeners will know, this first series of Happy Porch Radio is all about long-term client relationships, building that long-term sustainable business that grows. One of the reasons I'm excited to talk to you, Lee, is that I know that you work with a lot of other agencies and that you built a business from a previous business. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Okay. So the previous business I had was actually a design agency. So I was part of an agency with two other partners, and we ran a really good, successful design agency in the events space. So that was designing event branding, etc. And that business still continues to this day. What I did with that business was I joined them about halfway through their 10 years old. So I came in about 5 years in and built up the digital department of that business. So that meant they went from doing design to print to then being able to do a whole load of digital projects as well. So that meant building websites, doing digital campaigns, etc., email campaigns, etc. So as that business then evolved, I kind of found that I was actually doing less and less of the stuff that I enjoyed, which was doing code and creating new software, because we created software for the events industry. And once something's created, you kind of don't have to spend hours on end on it anymore. It's created. So other than fixing the odd bug, I was doing less and less of the stuff I enjoyed. So that's why I pivoted and essentially left there after about 5 years and started a company that specializes in being the digital department on behalf of other agencies, because I'd got that experience of being the digital department of that agency I was a part of. It seemed to make sense to kind of productize that and become the digital department for other agencies that work with WordPress and use the skills that I'd got in the past. So I still actually work with the previous agency as well, but also work with a whole load of new agencies developing those long-term relationships. And that's the thing, you know, the agencies we work with, because we've become the digital department who does the WordPress builds, we are getting lots of repeat business. It is all about long-term relationships with these sorts of clients.
Yeah, and I think that's really powerful. So there's a couple of things there. One, I know we've talked about before, the similarities between your story there and my story of running or being involved in an agency for a long time and then setting up a new structure, a new business. And what's really interesting about what you say there is that was driven by you wanted to work on the things that you enjoy doing. I think that's really fundamental. And I'll tie that back to the long-term client relationships and to everything. I think success in a broader sense is that if you're doing the majority of the time the things that you enjoy doing, that allows you to put so much more energy and passion and interest into it and therefore provide the value and build those relationships and do everything that's required to build a successful company.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I was stuck eventually just doing lots and lots of administration, etc. It can be very demotivating when you start doing the stuff that you're not really very highly skilled at and nor enjoy. You know, that was that kind of eureka moment where, you know, I know how much enjoyment I got from taking an agency from almost zero digital department to having a fully fledged digital department. I just realized that I want to do that. I love that. I want to keep doing that for lots of people all around the world. So that was the focus for me.
You also mentioned productizing or productizing service, which is something that we've touched on a couple of times in this series. Was that a very conscious decision from the start, or did that kind of just happen?
I guess the idea is starting with the problem. And one of the problems I know agencies have regularly is they will have a great design they've put together in Photoshop or whatever graphic design software they've used. And then it's having the resource, either internally or externally, to actually get that design converted into an actual functional website. And one of the common issues that we had in the agency that I was in, and I knew a lot of other agencies had, was dealing with some freelancers would be very difficult. You know, they could get conversion of their designs for quite cheap online, but the actual process of doing that was very complicated. There was tons of communication. Unfortunately, the low-paid freelancers they were using might be getting things wrong, or they would disappear, etc. So it seemed to make sense to try and build a business that's only message initially was that we will essentially handhold you through the whole process of getting your design converted into a fully fledged WordPress theme. So the problem was there, and we were going to essentially make that whole process easy, swift, and efficient. So that's what we've continued to market ourselves on. But obviously, once we've then entered into that relationship with that one pain point solved, we then kind of branch out, we develop the relationship with the client, and we end up then doing consultancy and far more than just doing a conversion from design to WordPress theme.
Which is one of the big benefits of working with somebody who's not on the cheaper end of the outsourcing scale, like you mentioned, because as the agency's your clients, you're getting a lot more value over and above just the starting service that you've described there.
And also, because we are charging a higher price, it means that I'm not trying to cram in a whole load of projects to make ends meet. So I know what the freelancer world is like because I was a freelancer for many years, and I was competing with lots of other freelancers at low rates, and I was having to do lots and lots and lots of jobs to be able to earn enough money in, which meant the quality that I was even producing back then was a lot lower than the quality. Well, I mean, the quality we have now is extremely high, but back when I was a freelancer, I didn't have the time to provide amazing quality work. I just had to rush jobs to get things through. You know, I feel for a lot of freelancers out there who are competing at a really low price bracket. That's why I had to pivot and move into a space, you know, a different space, i.e. become an agency, rather than trying to compete on these freelance websites where you've got people around the world who can charge a hell of a lot lower than somebody like me who's based in the UK.
The approach that you described there, starting with the problem and identifying a very clear positioning and specialism, is something which is incredibly powerful. And several guests we've had on the show, Philip Morgan in particular, talks a lot about positioning and the power of using that positioning not just to be technically and skillfully good, but also as then to build the business and the marketing and the client base and etc. To talk a little bit about the relationships you built with these agencies, is the relationship building part a conscious part of your process? Do you spend a lot of time communicating with them over and above the work? Do you do things outside of each project? How do you actually structure those relationships?
I guess there's two ways that we approach this. The first way that we approach this is at the very early days of getting the project in, I'll tend to see whether or not I think we're going to get on with these people. So we'll have a friendly conversation. We'll try and inject banter and see, you know, is this a group of people who are like-minded? Because you may have guessed from the intro that I don't take life too seriously. I like to have fun. I like to enjoy, you know, working with people that enjoy a good time. They like to have fun. They don't take themselves too seriously either. So we've actually said no to a lot of clients who are potentially high paying because we can tell right from the get-go that there is not going to be that friendly dynamic there, because it's really hard to build on a relationship when there is, you know, some sort of either it's animosity or some sort of guardedness, you know, that gut feel where you think, you know what, I don't think we're going to get on in a way that's going to be conducive to an ongoing relationship. They're probably going to get annoyed with us at some point because of the way we are, which is friendly, bubbly, like to crack a joke. with the existing clients that we do have that do have that dynamic with us, we were there just Monday, Tuesday of this week. I was down at a client in Brighton. We had a great time. We had a huge meeting where we were trying to work out how we could improve some of the processes of communication between us and them so that we could actually speed up some of the projects, etc., and also improve quality. But throughout that entire meeting, you know, we were cracking jokes at each other's expense. You know, the whole thing was lighthearted and great fun. And we got so much done and so much achieved that we all left there all feeling very, very energized, you know, with some new processes in place. So, you know, it is the idea there is that we've become part of that each company's department. We're almost like an extension of their team. So they treat us as an extension of the team, as in they treat us like you would expect any other person who sat in their physical office to be chatting, which is, you know, conversations, chatting, working together to solve problems, not being scared to be able to disagree with each other and all those sorts of things. And that is such a refreshing environment. And we've got that sort of relationship with quite a lot of our clients who are the repeat business clients. We do have people who come in, they take one job from us, we have a few friendly conversations and we get on with them, but we've already met that one-off need that they had. But for these sorts of customers, it's so much fun. And it's, to answer your question about a conscious decision, I think the conscious decision is right from the get-go, are we going to get on with these people? And then if we do get on with these people, we will obviously take on that first job, but we'll also invest some time in going to see them or chat to them quite regularly, at least once a month, have a conversation. One of the mistakes I've made in previous agencies is just not talking to the client for weeks on end or not physically seeing them. Out of sight, out of mind, over time, you become that distant person, that distant supplier rather than the friend or the extension of your team. So yeah, it's definitely a conscious effort to keep in touch and keep the banter, etc. going.
I like the fact that you keep coming back often to the fun part and enjoying the relationship and enjoying the work. And the other thing that you mentioned about saying no to business that is maybe not the right fit, despite the potential financial upsides, very often in those situations, the financial upside is like a red herring. It feels like the money should be there, but if the relationship doesn't work or there's other pain in that relationship, then it probably won't be as profitable as it maybe initially looks.
Exactly. You know, if you're going to work with someone that you don't necessarily get on with, I don't care how amazing and professional you are, it's going to be very demotivating and potentially you're not going to end up giving them your best. If they can be quite a negative person, then it's going to be hard to give them your best as a team. It's going to be hard to be motivated. And I've made that mistake and I've had that exact problem. And we've still produced amazing work, but it's not been pleasurable and it's not been enjoyable for that type of customer. So therefore, we've no longer worked with those. And nowadays, we will see those signs and therefore not even engage in the relationship any further other than helping them find another supplier, you know, because that's the nice thing to do. And just say, you know what, either we're booked up or we don't quite think the two companies will work well together. But hey, have you considered reaching out to these guys over here? Because obviously we've got relationships with other developers as well in our own industry that we can pass work over to.
Yeah, that's awesome. It takes a lot of strength to say that no.
I never used to. I've said too many yeses in my lifetime, mate. It's been a nightmare. So now it's very easy to say no because of the amount of yeses I've said and graves that I've dug for myself.
And I think that does come from that experience. It's really cool to hear you say, you know, I've learned from something like that and now I'm better and I'm stronger and it's benefited the business and you personally, I assume, as well.
You know, when I say it's easy to say no, it's easy to say no, but then I do get that little panic attack the next day thinking, oh my gosh, what have I done? So that still happens.
I can still relate to that as well. When you know or you feel that you should, like there's something in the gut saying, this isn't going to work out, I need to say no. It's a scary thing to do. So the other thing you talked about there a lot was communication. You talked about the regular communication, both to build out a friendly relationship, the fun, the banter, the type of relationship that you're looking for, but also the downside of that, which is a mistake I think I've seen many agencies make it with their clients as well as in the situation you described, where maybe there's periods where the client is quiet or there's no work going on or anything. It's just difficult sometimes to fit in that communication to stay in touch, but it can be really beneficial. So you mentioned you sort of stay in touch and you're treated like an extension of the team. When there's no work ongoing, do you still, you know, make regular touch and just sort of say, hi, how's things going?
The point of keeping in touch regularly means that there is very rarely any time where there isn't any ongoing work. Therefore, just by nature of us being around and having conversations, it always leads to, oh, whilst you're on the phone, we had this problem the other day and we were wondering if there's a solution for that. So that usually ends up in me sending some sort of quote saying, yeah, you know what, we could actually create a small plugin for you here that would do X, Y, and Z. This is a price, pass that on to the customer and see what you think, you know, and before long we've actually generated work. So it's actually very rare that we're not getting work in from clients. But yes, if there is a quiet month, we'll certainly still be on the phone with them and having a chat. And there is no agenda there. It is to have a chat. But like I said, usually ends up the fact that we're on the phone. They're like, oh, whilst you're there, let me pick your brain. And that picking a brain usually becomes some sort of opportunity.
That extra value you're providing, as you say, is building business for yourself, but also you're providing real value over and above the coding, the output of your work, because you're able to work directly with them to solve their problems and help their clients be successful and continue the virtuous cycle.
Absolutely. And sometimes it feels like you're giving away free information. But I mean, yes, you are giving away some free information and you're helping train your clients, etc. But that only means they are then going to come back to you each time for the actual work. It's helping them as well start to see the opportunities that they could upsell to their clients as well, which again is always going to benefit us. What I mean by that is some of the agencies I work with, they've moved from design to digital over time, and there's still an awful lot to learn about building of websites or the sorts of things that you could include in a web project, which is an extra value add for the client. So as you have these conversations with your clients, you can slowly but surely train them to spot these sorts of opportunities so that when they're going through a quoting process, they're equipped to add even more value to their client, which obviously is going to have a knock-on effect to your business, because you know your client is going to want to get you to do that work. I mean, obviously this applies to my business specifically, but I'm pretty sure there's lots of other businesses this would apply to. So I've trained my clients to such an extent where they will spot an opportunity to, I don't know, integrate a website with a CRM software, which most people wouldn't think of. That therefore means I'm actually going to get to do that work. But I've helped train my clients to spot those sorts of opportunities. Benefits their client, it benefits them financially, and obviously benefits us because we get to do the work.
Which takes us back to that real value over and above the initial, you know, offering that you described, turning designs into WordPress themes and sites.
Exactly.
Okay, so just to change gear very slightly, the other thing I wanted to touch on, which I know that you're a big part of, both obviously the WordPress community, but also your own very fun and exciting podcast and your own community. So I wanted to touch on that as an important aspect of building success in the long-term business, but also using the community as a way of, I guess, spreading the love and building the fun relationships that you're describing. Can you just tell us a little bit about the community that you've built?
Sure. Okay. So the podcast that I run is the WP Innovator Podcast. And the idea there is to create a source of free information. That's free information either from our brain here as a team or from other experts in the industry. And our target audience is design agencies and web designers. So you've got design agencies and web designers listening to a podcast that's all about WordPress and running a successful agency. So it's tons and tons of free information to help that whole demographic, which is awesome. And I launched that. I got lots of great emails, etc. So within a few weeks, you know, it seemed obvious to start a Facebook group. And we started a Facebook group, and now we've got over 180 design agencies in a group where we've got great rapport. People are asking questions, you know, I don't know, what contract do you use? What host would you recommend? I've got a client who's not paid me and I need some help in, you know, kind of getting some payment from them. So we've got all of these agencies, which are all my potential clients, which is obviously very exciting for me. But all of these people in there as well, all helping each other out. The beauty of that as well is that these people are all sharing the content that we're providing because they're finding great value in the content. And it's so nice to see that they then want to reciprocate and share that information. And with the good old content marketing, that therefore means our SEO is cranking up. People are finding our site more. So if it's not our community that's necessarily engaging with us financially, it's actually people who are finding us as a result of people sharing the stuff, you know, from our community, as a result of the stuff they're sharing of ours is then feeding other people into the sites or into our landing pages as well. So it's hard to quantify, but just by providing some regular information through a podcast and then engaging with people and having a good laugh in a Facebook group with lots of other people, we're all peers and we're all supporting each other. Obviously the fun energy for us is great, but also kind of the net result of that is that people are sharing our content, and you know, our content marketing strategy therefore is meeting all of its goals. We're increasing our traffic to the website, we're increasing our web leads, and we're obviously increasing conversions.
Several times through there you talked about providing value both in terms of the podcast content that you do directly to the types of businesses that you want to work with and that you understand and that you can have fun with and so on, and letting them communicate and help each other as well. That's, for me, is exponentially more useful as well.
Exactly. And pretty much most of the people in that community are not my client, and I don't really ever want to convert them into my client necessarily. They're a great place, you know, to learn from. I'm basically getting an experience of communicating with my ideal clients in an area of trust where they're all telling me their problems, I'm telling them my problems, we're all helping each other out. But that's giving me great ideas for podcasts. It's giving me great ideas for what is a problem or a pain point for my ideal target audience. And then I can use that information in, you know, my next blog post or my next podcast or when I'm reaching out to other agencies, etc. So most of the people in my community are not my clients, but they're such an amazing learning ground. And I just love the support that I get from everybody that's in the community.
I wanted to tie that back to the positioning and the specialism that you described at the start of our conversation. You're focusing on WordPress for design agencies, and then that allows you to build this extra value in the community of clients and interested relevant parties, I guess. That's something that I think more agencies themselves could be leveraging, that kind of thing, whether it's building a community or not, but by clearly identifying who the group of clients that they want to work with or work with most, and then thinking of the value beyond that. And I mention that because to me, that is part of that long-term client relationship building. You know, the community, for example, or the podcast or whatever form that kind of value sharing comes, building that ongoing being the key part rather than one-off. Value, providing a value to really build trust in the community and therefore bring in long-term business. One other thing what you mentioned there is problems. And I wonder if we could have a little bit of fun talking about some of the kinds of problems that agencies face that you see, you know, that comes up regularly.
Oh, you want me to list some?
Yeah, just if you're willing to share one or two.
Oh, well, I'm always happy to share. You can always go over to the group as well to find out the sorts of problems that are being shared. Problem one would be, how on earth do you get a decent brief from a client? So somebody will say, hey, I need a website. And then at that point, you know, everyone goes quiet. You're like, okay, so what do you need? And they don't know how to tell you what they need. So one of the problems agencies have is, how do you draw that information out of a client? And also, how do you get paid for drawing that information out of a client as well? Because that's a hell of a lot of consultancy. You've gathered a whole load of knowledge over, say, the last 20 years, depending on how old you are as an agency. You know how to build a website. You know how to plan a website. You know what a website needs. Therefore, you know, to have someone come along and then for free drain all that information from your brain can be quite frustrating as well for an agency. And then they may not even get that website. So it's a very common problem. How do you get the brief out of a client who doesn't know how to communicate it to you? And also, how do you cover some of those costs? That's a big one agencies are often talking about. And it's something that I'm pretty much solved for ourselves because we don't do any free specking. We actually sell a package for product specking. So we'll spec people's product for them and essentially build a brief for them. So they'll pay us to write a brief and then we'll quote on it if they're interested in working with us. So that's one problem. Obviously, another problem will be runaway freelancers. Another problem for an agency is how to then generate ongoing revenue from an existing web build. So how can they generate a relationship with that client? That client has had a website, but how can you convert that website into a monthly or yearly subscription payer for things like your website updates or SEO or content writing or anything else? There's all those sorts of aspects as well. So that's just three off the top of my head, but I could keep going depending on how long the podcast is, mate.
Brilliant. The reason I wanted to look at some specifics there is, I guess it ties back to my theme for this series of Happy Porch Radio, is looking at building those long-term relationships and that opening up opportunities. You've listed there three opportunities for ways to help your clients or your potential clients to really help and provide value to help their business. And that obviously comes back and helps build your own.
And can I recommend as well that, you know, if you know what the problems are of your clients, then create content about those problems, because that is such a good way of improving your SEO. It's a great way of raising your credibility, and it's a great way of generating leads as well. Because if someone's in the early part of a process of, say, planning a web build, and they're like running a search for how do I create a brief, they come along to your website, they use your free information. You are there right at the very beginning because they're reading your content and they're using your guidelines, and it's very likely they're going to be using you for the actual web build in the end as well. So that's something we do. Whenever we see there's a problem that we've never heard of, we're then going to create content that helps answer that problem and hopefully therefore will help generate leads for us as well.
So I wanted also to talk a little bit about your podcast, just quickly. One of the things I like about what you do is you mix up talk about the technology, so WordPress plugins and themes and theme builders and so on, but then also the business side. So you've had HR people and some sales things and multiple different topics. Is that just part of having fun with it, or is that a conscious plan?
It's both. It is both. So the conscious plan was right from the get-go, and if you listen to episode 000, I pretty much say from the get-go, and that was very wet behind my ears then. I was very scared on that episode. But the idea was to create a very varied podcast where we look at strategy for an agency, so helping an agency become an even better agency and to grow, but also that we will ensure that we interview people as well and find out what their journey is as an agency. So we unpack their journeys and learn their lessons, but also that we'll interview people that aren't even a design agency. So we've had people from all sorts of areas. We've had a HR person only a couple of weeks ago who knows nothing about web builds. She knows nothing about the design agency, but she's very skilled in HR. And there's a lot of agencies that do have staff and employees. And there's a common problem. How do you keep your staff motivated? How do you invest in your team, etc.? So, you know, that's always been the idea behind the podcast. And a lot of it is actually a reflection of what I want to learn as well. I'm an agency who supports agencies, but my problems and my desires and the things that I want to learn tend to be pretty much in line with my clients as well. So selfishly, the podcast a lot of the time can be me wanting to learn something that I know is also going to be of benefit to the community. So that's there. And obviously, there's the fun aspect of it as well. I don't want the podcast to be the same format with the same questions every single time, because then that can kind of come a bit boring. And that's why I'm enjoying this, mate, because, you know, we're having a conversation almost like we've got some beers and you're just kind of going on a journey with me and you're asking questions and you're picking up on stuff. And that makes for a great podcast as opposed to the fixed questions podcast that I have listened to in the past that I can find over time have become a bit boring. And I definitely swore from the get-go I didn't want a boring podcast.
Yeah, the only thing that would make this better would be a beer.
Yeah, it's all right. I've not started. It's 9:30. Although it's 5 o'clock somewhere in the world, so I suppose I could crack one open.
As a continuation of that, what's next for Lee Jackson?
What's next for Lee Jackson? Lee Jackson has very specific plans. I want to continue to grow revenue in different areas. So one of the areas would be to create some sort of online course that I can provide to design agencies. Basically, I can't reach every design agency in the world. I know that for a fact because there's only so many projects that I can do. But I do have a lot of knowledge and a lot of information that I can share with design agencies and give them systems, structures, documentation, etc. So we're actually in the process of putting something together right now, which we will be selling as a paid access. So that will help us generate some extra residual income. That's one of the things. Also, we've been slowly pivoting into providing real high-level advice to agencies and also working on very complex builds beyond the WordPress theme, which might be creating very specialized back-office software using WordPress as a framework, and they're a lot higher-value sorts of projects as well. So although we'll still be doing themes for the foreseeable future, the future of Lee Jackson will be different online valuable courses that will generate ongoing revenue that means I don't have to put tons of extra time into that, and also some of the bigger ticket hardcore back office solutions that are going to help businesses solve huge problems with data, etc.
Tying that back to what you said at the start about enjoying the building, the creation process.
Totally. And I'm doing everything I enjoy, basically. I've had opportunities to work on projects that are high paying, but, you know, they sound like very boring things. So you just tend not to want to work on them. I actually had a business consultant over yesterday. I've got a business consultant I meet with regularly, and she's often laughing at me because I literally have, I'm black and white. It's either boring or it's fun. If it's boring, I don't like doing it. So that means invoicing and administration and everything else. And she's slowly trying to train my brain to make all of those very necessary activities fun so that I'll actually freaking well do them.
That's interesting that you have a business consultant, actually. Is that something you've had right from the start?
It's not, actually, and it's something that I should have. Frankly, I've grown into business over many years. I've made so many mistakes that I feel like I'm now a very wise person and know a lot more than I used to. But it always helps to have someone else on the outside looking in, giving you advice, preferably NLP trained as well, someone who understands kind of how you're speaking, how you think, and spotting kind of negative patterns that you might be enforcing. So even yesterday, you know, some of the phrases I was using allowed us to just unpack some real negative thought processes I had about even certain types of phone call or something like that, that I would give me anxiety. And then we kind of unpack that. And I really wish I'd done that a lot earlier on, because I ended up sabotaging myself in the past because of all sorts of negative thought processes and patterns that I had in my life and things in the past that had affected me. I recommend really early on just having someone else giving business advice, but also kind of personal advice as well, and helping you understand, why do you find invoicing boring? Why do you find lead generation so hard? Is it really hard, or is there actually something else behind the scenes that's affecting your thought processes, etc.? So that's the sort of consultant that I have, just helping me unpack my brain, but also helping me give strategy as well. So she also helped yesterday in unpacking further how we're going to create this online paid area for design agencies. She was actually helpful. I was trying to do one big package, and she was able to look at that and say, well, actually, really, you've got two products here, like a phase one product and a phase two product, where people do phase one and then they upgrade to phase two when they're ready for that, etc. So having someone looking outside in is so freaking helpful, and I wish I'd done it a lot sooner.
Yeah, I'm going to say it again. That's incredibly powerful. And in fact, I'm planning to do a further follow-up series at some point of Happy Porch Radio, focusing on that kind of mentoring, business coaching, and even non-exec, those kind of relationships in an agency and a business.
And actually, you said the word non-exec. I mean, I am not a huge business. I'm a small UK business with one room that we all work in, etc. That does not mean that I should not be investing in self-improvement and investing in having a business consultant, because that business consultant and that investment in yourself will actually help you become the office on a beach that you aim to be, which is obviously where I'm aiming to go.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we're beginning to run out of time.
No!
I know, yeah. But it's set up, I'm going to have a great day now. So I've started the day with a conversation with Lee, so that's a perfect way to start.
Ah. Great.
Just before we finish off, though, why don't you tell listeners where they can find out more about you and connect with you and your business?
Well, the best way is to go along to leejacksondev.com. That's leejacksondev.com, and you will find our blogs. We've got tons of blogs on there. We've got the podcast, which you can listen to and have fun. And if you really want to have a chat, which we'd love to, then feel free to hit that contact form. I live on Twitter, so it's leejacksondev on Twitter. And I also live on Facebook as well. If you put a comment on something, I'll probably like or reply within 3 seconds. I don't know how I get any work done because I'm on social media so much. Find me on Facebook. If you just go to leejacksondev.com/group, that will actually take you to the Facebook group that we have. You can jump in there and then you can connect with me on Facebook as well. So there's a few avenues to go down.
Wonderful. And I'll put all those links in the show notes on happyporchradio.com as well. Thanks again, Lee.
Mate, it's been awesome. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Season 1 of Happy Porch Radio. If you like what you've heard so far, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That really helps the show keep going. And don't forget to visit happyporchradio.com for all the links and notes from every show.